Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Here's the snap. Darnold back. Big rush. He's hit! And TJ has him! And down he goes inside the 20. They'll call him down at the 17. Taylor Moton, the right tackle, got beaten badly on the play by TJ Watt. Shotgun snap. Mariota from his end zone throws that pass, and it's intercepted. Going to the 5-yard line and getting out of bounds is Minkah Fitzpatrick, and that seals the deal in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and the Steeler Nation is celebrating.
Well, the AFC rosters and NFC Pro Bowl rosters are out, and we're going to take some time today to congratulate the players that have been named as Pro Bowlers, that being T.J. Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick. There was also 4 guys that were alternates, something you and I share, Max. We were on the all-alternate team.
That's right, the others, the other squad.
The other squad.
The squad behind the squad.
Yeah, and it think about it now. Yeah, I wonder if these guys are flag football capable. But we got Pat Freiermuth, Derek Watt, Cam Hayward, and Alex Highsmith, who were also voted in as alternates. Max, what's your take on this post Franco Day number 2? Because of course, this we're still gonna. What we want to do too is we want to throw open the phone lines 412-919-1316 because we want to intermix again people that have memories that want to recount some of the things that they encountered with. I've heard from so many people who have had. You know, the interaction with Franco, and it's been marvelous and wonderful and kind of healing in many ways, you know, kind of soothes his soul. But we certainly want to leave that open, too, for the folks of Steelers Nation to be able to join in. But, Max, again, I'm going to ask you what your take is on the Pro Bowl.
Well, I definitely agree with Minkah, and obviously TJ is TJ. Like, you know, even though he's missed, you know, a lot of games, TJ's impact is always felt.
Right.
So it was right. I was just surprised that Alex didn't make it as well. But I'm glad he's an alternate. But I thought he would have made the initial roster.
You know, what was interesting was, you know, back in my day, they used to say that the saying was, you make it a year later than you should and you stay a year longer than you should. You know what I mean? That's kind of, you know, because of the lag time in voting. Really, Pro Bowl credentials. You know what I mean? It kind of rolls out a little bit later, and certainly with Alex, he's very deserving of it. But you cannot begrudge T.J. Watt, though he missed 7 games, still impactful, still capable of doing some things. He's got 4 sacks and 5 TFLs. So, you know, the fact is he's reigning defensive player of the year.
Oh, yeah. And that's exactly why I think, you know, you definitely earn the opportunity to be there multiple years. But, you know, it's one of those things where you look at it and you're like, okay, I mean, and also consider a team record also plays into that.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
The better the record, the more guys that you're normally going to get into that. Our record is still teetering below 500. So, therefore, they're going to look at the other teams with greater than 500 records a little bit more rose-colored lens, so to speak, right?
Absolutely.
They have a rosy disposition when they look at those guys. But, no, but I'm happy for the guys that made it. You know, anytime you get a player or teammates that can represent each other, you know, that can represent the organization, that's what you hope for. And, you know, I love it for Pat Freiermuth that he became an alternate, you know, year two.
Yep.
The impact that he has made – apparently, the entire league took notice, and the fact that you're up there in that conversation, especially when you consider like who we know the known suspects are at the tight end position in the AFC side, a la Travis Kelce, right?
Right.
you know, the fact that you're making the alternate list is pretty special, and that puts you in rare company for the squad. But yeah, no, I think this is a good list. You know, hopefully, if the trend goes the way that it goes, where guys decline, maybe we do get Alex Highsmith and Cam and Pat in there because somebody is they're either playing for, you know, a Super Bowl or they just decline it, and then we can get more guys there, and then we can add a bigger, larger list to the Pro Bowl attendees.
Exactly so. You know, and by the way, I was thinking about Travis and Jason Kelce, the two brothers. I guess they've got between them 14 Pro Bowls. I mean, that says a lot about a brother that they've made together as brothers, you know, in the same year. That's pretty impressive.
Kind of combo. Yeah, that is pretty impressive. Now we can have TJ and JJ start to build up some. They have to be close.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I mean, this is, you know, I look at this and I'm really happy, like you said, for Alex. I'm really happy for Pat. Derek Watt, that was a nice, unexpected thing. Cam,
yeah.
You know, Cam is still high level. I don't care what anybody says. He's still playing at a great level. And, you know, the fact that defensively – and, again, I think with Cam, more than anything, that's part and parcel of what happens when your record is not real good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, that's just one of those things.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I mean, you look at it and, you know – I think that's where you have to just say, you know what, had things been better, I know you would have been in there. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
We would have probably gotten about 3 to 4 more guys in there on that initial list, and it would have been 1 to 2 guys as alternates. Or maybe 1 to 2 more guys that would have been alternates, Wolf.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to the victor goes the spoils.
Yeah.
So you kind of relent a little bit right now, but still – we're grateful, we're thankful for the opportunity to have two players that represent this squad and then to have another 5-6 guys on the alternate list. So, no, it's tremendous to have that that honor.
Now, you've got former, the Hall of Fame quarterback and two-time Super Bowl champion, Peyton Manning. He's going to coach the AFC with his brother Eli, who also won a pair of Super Bowls, who will be coaching the NFC. So you got the Manning brothers being the head coaches of both the AFC and NFC. So this should be interesting. You know, I mean, a little – I love it because it's going to be with Omaha Productions, which everybody knows Peyton doing the Omaha,
exactly.
The audible. I thought that was so funny with that. Omaha –
yeah, you would have Omaha Productions. I was like, that just makes perfect sense. That's so Peyton, on brand.
It is. You know, the funny thing is, I came to the Steelers in 1980, and the entire time I was there, we had brown as our live color. Everybody knew. Everybody knew brown. They knew that was automatic. We were playing the Dolphins one time, and Terry Bradshaw checked to a brown 13, which is a straight dive with a fullback. behind the left guard, basically, you know, A-B gap right there. And I remember, was it Vern Den Herter or was it the other Miami defensive end? I can't remember which one. He stood up, and he's pointing right in his spot, and he goes, "It's coming right here, boys. Coming right here." All right? And it was like, I'm sitting there going, "Terry, can't you let go, give a fake, you know, the check with me, or go disregard the audible," which, you know, that would help, you know what I mean? You have the disregard the audible, you go a brown call, but you don't run what they think you're going to run from the audible because it's dead. And he never did that. It was just like, Laura. Brown. And everybody goes, "I know where that's going."
Chartreuse 31, guys. Chartreuse 31.
Chartreuse. Yeah. Exactly.
Marron. 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 13. We start speaking Spanish on him.
Where's Alvaro when we need him, man? That's
exactly,
right.
Exactly. Alvaro, come on. Give us code. We need code words. We need code words.
We need code words. Chartreuse. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. You know, just mix it up. Just mix it up. I mean, we know where it's going. Just, you know, it's like, "Hey, guys, audible, listen. Brown 13 is going to be called, you know, Gemini double play." You know what I'm saying? Like something. I don't know. It's like just come up with something else, like in the huddle right before, like, because we used to mix different play calls in, like for hard counts to help juice out
right
Chris
right.
Kimiyatu. So we were saying toi, trace. You know, when it was a hard count, so on three,
right?
And we're saying all these different phrases, and darned if Chris actually jumped off sides
after making
a twa call. We were like, "Twa, twa, twa." And so he's like, "I don't speak French." I said, "You're from French Polynesia."
"I don't speak French." Juicy, what are you thinking, man? Yeah,
exactly. Like we put that in there for you. We told you what it means. You don't need to speak it.
You know, that whole audible system, because, you know, you got the brown is the live color, right? Everybody knows it. Well, I remember, you know, before that once in a while, Chuck would use messenger guards. Chuck was a messenger guard when he was in Cleveland, all right? And so he would send in now and then, you know, he might send in a player via the guard. Well, he sent in Steve Corson one time in Detroit. And we were down around, I don't know, the 2-3 yard line, something like that. And Steve comes into the huddle, and Terry looks at me, and Steve doesn't say a word. And Terry goes, "Okay, check with me, you know, on three, you know, at the line of scrimmage." He's going to go up there and he's going to call it. And so he goes up to the line of scrimmage, and we're in our 2-point stance before, you know, he sets the team, and he goes, "Blue 47, whatever, you know, like that. And then Steve goes, he turns to Terry. He goes, "Terry, that's not the play." Right at the line of scrimmage. No, "Terry, that's not the play." "Steve,
oh, God.
Steve, why'd you say that in the huddle?" Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Think about that. I mean, the things that happen out there. You
like
know what
telephone.
I mean?
Like, this is where telephone goes wrong, you know? Sometimes you got to have the right messenger guard going out there, not just a messenger guard.
Yes, you got to have the messenger guard.
Like, I think about it, like I could see, like, Alan Faneca doing that if we had that back when I was playing.
Big Red?
Alan.
We didn't blow Big one Red like that?
No. I'm saying just be a messenger guard.
Oh, okay.
In general, like, I was trying to think of who would be the messenger. Chris Kimiyatu would totally blow it.
Right.
So I would not pick Big Juicy to be the messenger guard.
Right, right. That's
DeCastro.
He's a sharp cookie.
And Ramon. So
Ramon wait a minute. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Who gets to be selected the guard that waves the hand in front of the center for the silent count? How do you decide that?
I thought it was just always the right guard.
Yeah, but
for whatever reason.
Big Ragu was the left guard.
That's right. He did. I forgot. Well, see, here's the thing. Ramon switched to left guard after I left, so
I've always considered Ramon
a right guard. All right. So that happened more so because Chris was gone, and Willie and I had left together because Willie was the left guard.
Okay.
With me.
Okay.
So I would have thought right guard naturally, but I mean, it probably goes to the veteran guy who can actually probably more athletic guy.
Yeah. Okay.
A guy who could actually put that hand there and
actually
get back
to still
kick. Or is
it the smarter guy? You know what I mean?
I didn't want to put an intelligence thing on
okay,
it.
A minute now. You know, the one thing, Big Ragu, you know what? A guy who whiffed a heavy bag on a cut block drill, you know, up at training camp. I'm telling you, that you got a question, okay? I will never forget that moment when you guys were cut blocking the heavy bag and he somehow missed it. And he just splatted himself on the ground. And Tunch and I were in tears. We were laughing so hard. Yeah. We're going, did he catch a downdraft or something? And we loved the Big Ragu. The Big Ragu was a great player. People don't appreciate what that guy was capable of doing, what he did, and how tough he was. He was a junkyard dog out there, man.
Hey, but be honest. When you saw him whiff on that heavy bag, did you think his career would have lasted as long as it did?
No, absolutely not. I'm thinking he's not long for this team, man.
I was like, ooh, camp body. Yeah, no.
That funny? I mean, you think about it, he takes like a 5-yard run, and he dives and the bag didn't move. I'm standing there. I watched it. The bag didn't move. His aiming point was off. And I'm like going, how do you do that?
Yeah, you missed something stationary.
Maybe Big Juicy. Maybe I could see that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, Juicy was just a live wire. You just didn't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If
Juicy pulled, he was hitting something.
Yeah, okay.
He had to hit something. Might have been your own teammate, but he was hitting something. Like, he might have hit the guy holding the bag, but he was going to – if he missed the bag, somebody else was getting hit or something else was getting hit. Yeah.
Max, on my first play that I ran in preseason as a rookie was a 32 trap, which in a 3-4, it had Larry Brown was going to pass set, and George Martin was the defensive end over him. And I either would pick the ram up from George Martin, or I'd turn up on the inside linebacker. And I'll never forget, I was so nerved up. And you know how it is when you're all adrenalized and you're snorting fire, man. You can't even, you don't hardly know your own name, much less what's going on other than what's called in the huddle. And I pulled and – I don't know how it, the time gap, and there was a time lag. It's like in slow motion. And all I remember was as I was screaming towards Larry Brown and George Martin, I guess Larry saw me coming, and he stepped back, and George stepped back from each other, and I roared right in between them, and I just absolutely pounded my face into the ground. And I came back.
Gosh.
Oh, it was, I mean, I got nothing but turf, nothing. And I came back in the huddle, and Mike Webster goes, well, did you hit somebody? And Larry Brown chimed in before I could say anything. He goes, no, he missed.
It's like playing Battleship. A-12. Miss.
Oh, is that the
Dang
truth,
it.
Man?
I knew it. I knew there was one. Should have went A-11.
Absolutely.
Look, yeah.
Hey, let's
we've
go.
All had, well, we've all been there, but yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's go to break first. Let's go
Absolutely.
To break first.
Give them the
let's
phone number,
back
too.
On the other side.
Yeah.
The phone line number is 412-919-1316. We want to hear from you. Remember, we want to hear about Franco, the life, how he touched your life, sharing a special memory with us, because we want to make sure we keep the memory and spirit of Franco alive. And also, if you want to chime in about the Pro Bowl votes, do you like the picks? Do you like the alternates? Do you felt like somebody got snubbed? Let's hear from you, Steeler Nation. We want to know. Right here on the other side, you're in the locker room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN and SNR Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Now power look. The give is to Mixon, and the Steelers are all through the gaps, and Mixon goes down for a loss of about two on the play. First man to him, T.J. Watt. Ball is down. The kick is on.
It's blocked!
Kick is blocked! Minka Fitzpatrick blocked the kick, and we have a tie game with 2 seconds left.
You know, Max, there's moments you look back on your broadcasting career and you go, boy, I really screwed that one up. Just start screaming when Billy's making the call. No, keep your big yapper shut when the main man, when the voice of the Steelers is calling the play. Had to learn that the hard way.
Or if you know you can't do it, just hold the cough button.
that's a great idea. Why didn't I think of that?
That is exactly what I do. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to hold the cough button, you know?
I tend to
get a mild case of Tourette's at football games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Max and Wolf, did either of you guys see what happened with Steve Levy in the Alexander Ovechkin goal last week?
No.
So
no.
Last week, Alexander Ovechkin became just the third player in NHL history to score 800 goals, right?
Wow.
And he did it with a hat trick goal against the Blackhawks. So it was his third goal of the game. It was a hat trick goal, 800th goal. Huge moment. Steve Levy's calling the game for ESPN. And whoever his color commentator was stepped all over his toes.
Oh, no.
Talked all through his call of this historic Alexander Ovechkin goal. And people were just, you know, people on social media were
not very nice.
We're not very nice, yes.
No, they weren't. And what was his name again? Just joking. No. We're not going to out him on here. But Steve Levy's all. I've worked with Steve this season. We call it the Tampa Bay Cleveland game together. So that was my first time working with. And Steve's a really good guy.
Yeah, he's a pro's pro.
But you can't kill him in that moment.
No,
you gotta let the golden voice breathe. You know what I'm saying? Let the pipes go. You can't be the guy. We're the sidecar. You know what I'm saying? Like on the motorcycle, we're the sidecar. We're the guys wearing the little helmet, sitting in the little pod, just waiting for our turn. You know?
Yep. Well,
you got the main guy driving the motorcycle.
There you go. Let's see. Let's take a look at the AFC offense. You got three quarterbacks: Patrick Mahomes, you got Josh Allen, and you got Joe Burrow. All right, so you got three pretty doggone good quarterbacks, man. What's your take?
I'll take them.
I'll take them all three.
All three. All three. Yes. If it's three, it's for me. And I don't think you could find a better trio right now in the NFL. Three guys playing at the highest level, and let's face it, both their teams are sitting there at 1-2-3 in the playoff standings.
Right.
One win differential between those three squads. So you know you're looking at 2-11-3s and 1-10-4 team. Very appropriate. And I like them. I mean, we saw two out of the three this year. We saw the other one twice last year. So I think we're good. I think I could say that they're pretty good. I'll give them a certified fresh.
You take a look at – you got Pat Mahomes, and he is kind of a magician with the ball. I mean, you know, the things that he does, how he, you know, fandangos his way. You know, he starts running, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a throw coming from some angle that you could not possibly have foreseen, right? I mean, he just kind of the Wizard of Mahomes. You know what I mean? He just, whoop, and something happens. But then you got Josh Allen, who is virtually strong, power, all these things wrapped into one.
He's Bam Bam. He's Bam Bam for the Flintstones.
Okay, Bam Bam, that's a good one. And then you got Joe Burrow, who's more like the classic quarterback, but the guy's just on an unbelievable tear.
Yeah, Joe Cool, man.
Yeah.
He does not get flustered. He's not get bothered. And he just has that surgical approach to getting the football out. He can manipulate it to do whatever he wants it to do to get to the guy that he so desires. I think you have three very talented and very different quarterbacking styles that all kind of make it work. And if you had them on a team, it's like, you know, you can't run the same offense with all three of them. Like, right. They all have their – I mean, I'm sure they could – they're skilled enough to be able to run the same offense, but it would be done in so many different complete ways. You call one play and you get three different results. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, that's just how they are. So, yeah, no, I think all three of them are fantastic quarterbacks, and they're well-deserving of that honor. Absolutely. Even if it is a flag football game.
Right. All right. You know what? We're going to go to the phones because the phone lines are stacking up like cordwood. All right. We got Herm in Sacramento. Herm, you're in the locker room, and we're looking forward to your reflections on the celebration of life we're having for Franco Harris and any other topics you want to bring up.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for letting me in, man. Appreciate you guys.
You betcha, brother.
I don't know if I can talk about Franco.
It's okay, man. We were dropping tears yesterday, man. You know, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard, but it's okay. You know, you just got to let it go.
Yeah. I'm from Scranton, and I remember that day, the Immaculate Reception, very vividly.
Mm.
I was Christmas shopping with my mom. I was coming back, and my dad was watching the game. And at the time, I just I was a football fan, but I mean, I liked the Steelers because I was on this team on my Pee Wee football team. I was on the Southside Steelers, so I grew to like the Steelers. But anyway, when Franco made that catch, my dad was like yelling, "Hey, Herm, get in here, man. Get in here." He's watching the game. Yeah. And I was kind of bummed out at that time. I was like, "Oh, yeah, they lost. They lost." He goes, come here. They won. And so I go in the family room, and sure enough, they won. They showed the play over and over. And at that point, it was like a magical moment.
How old were you, Herm?
I was about 10 years old.
10 years old. Wow. And
yeah. So it was like a magical moment. And it was just, it was so cool. And he definitely changed the trajectory for the Steelers.
Yes.
Not single-handedly. Obviously, he had help. But it was just, he was such an instrumental part in the Steeler history. And it was cool. This year was the first time I made a Steeler game out there.
Did
you? I was coming. Yeah, this is the first. You know, even though I lived in Pennsylvania for 25 years, I never actually went out there because, like I say, I'm far, across the state. But so my daughter and I flew in, and we saw a Steeler game. But I had to get my picture taken with the statue, at the airport.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Yeah. So, and Max, I agree with you, man. Alex Highsmith, I think he was the first teamer this year. He was a stud, and he is a stud. And, I mean, he and TJ definitely, and Minka definitely, and you know. When people say maybe Cam lost a step last week, when I saw him go up the middle like that and take down Darnold, that was unbelievable. You know, the guy's a stud still. So that's all I got, guys, and I appreciate you guys, man.
Thanks, Herm. Let me tell you, this is healing. You get it out, you talk about it, because we all love Franco. He all meant something to us. You know?
Yes.
So, good. All right, brother. You take care. Let's move on. I got we got another one here. Max, take this one. This is Bill.
Hello, folks. Right. How are you?
Doing good, Bill.
Hello?
Doing good. How are you? Can you hear us, Bill?
Yeah, I can hear you. Listen,
okay,
I got a story. In 1979, when I got out of the Marine Corps, the lady that I'm married to had an apartment down on North Avenue. In those days, Franco had a house out on North Avenue. We were in the apartment across the street. I just got out of the Marine Corps and just come back from overseas. And Wolf, you're my age. You're in the I'm in my 60s.
Yeah, you're an old guy too, huh?
I'm a relic, baby. Trust me.
I'm right there with you.
I think we're the same age.
Yeah, 64.
If you remember back in the day, I came back from overseas. I had them big Kenwood 555D speakers. I had four of them. And I was carrying these big boys way up to the fifth floor, and Franco stood there and watched me. Because he had seen my wife before. She used to walk her dog over in that park on North Avenue on the north side.
Mm.
Franco laughed at me like he said, that girl must be something else. You to carry those speakers up all those steps. I hope she don't put you out.
That's priceless. Oh my goodness.
My wife and I talked about that day. I mean, Franco didn't say much, and I think Wolf, you might remember that house on North Avenue. It was not too far down from the Y.
I think and I know where I you're never, talking. You know, but again, yeah. I'm a little. I got the, you know, I suffer a little bit from ramnesia. So.
Is that what you call it? Yeah. I just call it old. That's all.
That's what it might be.
I never really bothered Franco because every time I came out the apartment, there was always some fans out there. You know, he never got any peace. But he harassed me that day because, you know, those speakers are huge. Those speakers were huge, and I'm struggling with them. And he didn't say a whole lot. He looked, gave me one of them smiles, and he said, "She must be something else, my man."
Oh, that's something to treasure the rest of your life, brother. That is so
that
cool.
is amazing. That is the funniest story I've heard so far.
That's great, yeah. Bill. Thank you,
hey,
bud.
Merry Christmas, you guys.
Merry Christmas, brother.
Merry Christmas to you as well. Thank you for that story. Thank you for sharing that with us because, you know, I'm sure somebody out there was having a tough day. And if you can't laugh at that, I mean, that just brightens your whole overall mood. It's just it's that little quick wit there. The one-liners. I mean, and he does it so subtle, right? He knows what the effect's going to be, and he just delivers it. Just nice, soft, and consistent, and then you're left with, oh my gosh, did that just happen? You're like, and then you just start laughing hysterically, and then he'll give you the grin and the nod, like, yep, he got it finally.
Fabulous! Gosh. Why don't we go ahead and take a break because we got a couple more callers. We got Denny in Hawaii, yeah. And Juan in Charleston, and we'll get to you guys in the next segment there.
All right, sounds good. Hey. Stay tuned in here. We got more calls. Remember, the phone lines are 412-919-1316. We want to hear from you. Just like with Bill and with Herm, like, we want to make sure this is a healing process. This is also a time to reflect on some funny moments and have some lighthearted, interludes there.
Yes.
Because I know this is still a very heavy subject for all of us. But the more we talk about it, the better we're going to get with the grieving process. There are stages and cycles, so we have to get to the acceptance phase, and then we work towards the healing phase. So please feel free to call in. You're in the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Shotgun snap on third and two. Darnold waits, dances, fires it over the middle. Broken up at the 31-yard line. A great job defensively on Shai Smith by Minka Fitzpatrick. Play action fake, wants to throw it. Big rush. It is Highsmith, and he's down for the sack. Highsmith, sack number 11 on the year, and he's a hometown favorite as a graduate of UNC Charlotte.
Oh, yeah, just more of our Pro Bowlers, our alternates, which, you know, Max and I were all alternates. You know?
Yeah.
So close and far.
The other guys. The other guys. Yes. We're the other guys.
We're
you
the
guys
all
are the real
other
thing
guys
in my
team.
Book.
Hey, you know what? Thank you, Wes. Thank you.
I appreciate
but
you.
To the rest of the NFL world, we were the guys behind the guys and sometimes behind those
guys.
guys.
That's a true word, man.
Yeah, right. Hey, but our name was on A list. That is important.
It was not D list, but it was on A list. And not as an A or B list. It was just A list.
Yeah, I was about to say, it was kind of like the C list. Yes. We're filling out names. They deserve it. Just put their name on there.
Well,
tried really hard.
let's roll out with our celebration of life of the great, wonderful Franco Harris. Man, we got Denny in Hawaii. Denny, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you. What time is it out in Hawaii?
Let's see. It's 5:49 a.m.
What are you doing up this early? What? Gadzooks, man.
Listening to you guys. I do it every morning.
God bless you. We appreciate you. What you got for us, Denny?
God bless you.
Amen.
So I have three things on Franco.
Go right ahead.
I used to travel a whole lot. And I lived in Austin at the time. And I was coming back from the trip. And it was a connecting flight. And that's back in the days before for all the security. At the very last minute, this guy runs onto the plane. He jumps into the seat next to me. You know, we were up front. And I nod to him. And we got about 10,000 feet. And I say, hey, sir, you're Franco. Franco Harris. He said, yeah. I said, you owe me $75.
Whoa, what? You owe me $75?
Yeah. And he said, why? I said, well, you made the catch. I jumped up in my rec room and I put my fist right to the steel. He started laughing. And it was just to talk about his wit. Several years before that, I'd gone to a Lions thing up in New York. you guys came in and talked and whatnot. And Franco was there giving the speech. So after it was over, there, good speech, by the way. It was a question and answer. And the guy says, hey, what's it going to take to win next year? This was after the first Super Bowl. He looked at him quietly and said, next year. That's what it's going to take. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh,
everybody,
my gosh.
Everybody jumped up. Anyway, last thing. let's see. I can't tell you what year it was, but I took my dad to a pirate game. And I looked down in the stands, and there's this whole section of kids. I mean, and right in the middle.
It's okay, bud. We're all grieving. Yeah. We're all grieving.
Yeah. Right in the middle of Franco.
Yep. Yep. He's so deeply affected so many of us. Yeah, it's okay, brother.
He's one of the finest guys I've known.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And, by the way, Wolf, we met you. I was living back in Pittsburgh, my wife and I, in 2000 2005. And I went to one of Alan and Julie's events. And
we got to meet.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, my wife,
cool.
Thank you guys for teaching her about football. She'd love to listen to you guys. Anyway.
God bless.
I can't say Twitch's name.
I'm sorry.
I have a hard time saying Twitch's name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too, brother. I have a cup of Joe with him every morning. I got a picture of him on my fridge. I break out his the Hawaiian cup that he gave to me when he went out there. You know, he and Sharon, his wife, went out to, you know, Hawaii, and because his kid stayed with me, I was out there, and all I got was a coffee mug. I kept reminding him, this is what I get. I got your kids for a whole week. You're out there. You're at the Pro Bowl in Hawaii, and what do I get? I get a coffee mug.
It's better than the coconut bra and the grass skirt. That was the other option.
Okay, Wolf. Yes. That's decidedly different. That's better. That's better.
Yeah.
Brother
this
Denny, we got to roll on.
Yeah.
We got to roll on, brother.
Yeah,
but thank you so much for your memories.
You
treasure them,
and I thank
you.
Thank you guys for being there.
You betcha, brother.
Thank you.
Way to go. Oh, I love it. Let's get one more in before we go. Let's go to Juan in Charleston. Juan, you got about a minute and a half, brother.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good morning.
Hey, just want to say, Wolf, I was listening to the replay last night when you and the Moof had him down here on the district with y'all last week, and that touched me when he was on air with you guys.
Yeah, that was very special. You know what I mean? Because, you know, he was the guy that announced Pat Freiermuth on draft day. There was a special, that Penn State thing, you know, they climb Nittany Mountain or whatever, you know, and, they hold hands and sing the Penn State fight song. I don't know. I always tease them about it. But the fact was, Franco was just instrumental in Pat's life. Pat talks about it and tells, you know, what a great guy he was.
Yeah, and I'll let you go after this. So I know they retired the number. I just want to put this out there. With Najee, him and Franco share the last name Harris. Don't you think they should let Najee rock the number 32 one more time with Franco?
Wow. I don't know. That's a tough call. Tough call, but, man, that's kind of interesting.
That is interesting, but, boy, that would be a lot to live up to if he put that jersey on.
Boy, that would be tough.
Even if it is to honor him.
Yeah.
Because you would have to show up and show out. If you get that number. I don't know. Not a lot of guys would probably be willing to do that and step out like that to honor him. But, I mean, it is creative as hell. I'll give you that one.
Absolutely.
It's something I never thought of. That would be awesome to see guys do that. That would be pretty cool. But I don't know if they could.
Could you imagine Harris and 32 on a jersey, on a running back, one more time? Wow.
Against the Raiders.
Yes.
Right? Raiders, you know what I'm saying? That would just. I don't know. You'd have frozen tears on people's faces because
that's true.
Saturday night,
absolutely.
But you would have tears and joy. That's creative. Juan, thank you for that thought That's something that never even crossed my mind. That's a cool thought to have thought of. So
absolutely.
I appreciate that.
All right, hey Max, we better go because we got John Cole.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We got a hard out. All right, hey. Hour one down. Power hour next. John Kolb on the other side of this. And, of course, we'll still be taking your calls after we finish talking with Mr. Kolb here in the locker room. Wolf and Starks on ESPN and SNR Radio.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.